always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Tuesday afternoon, unless you're from Egypt, by Jovan Buha of Buha's blog. I'm sorry, like it was just so incredible, and I didn't really get to joke about it on Twitter.
Talk about kicking them while they're down right now.
I know. It was rigged.
Recover from that.
I will. I'll grant them that, like, them taking back the goal was one of the worst calls I've ever seen in professional sports. So we're even.
It's fair.
Today on the show, we're going to talk about where the offseason can go from here. A lot of the heavy lifting has been taken care of. Minus the fact that the Lakers still do not employ a starting power forward. Rui Hachimura is a Clipper. The Lakers are still in hot pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga, and I guess we could discuss how that might be going so far as well. But the way that I kind of want this to go from here is we're going to discuss how we think the rest of the offseason is probably going to go, and then grade the offseason, if that is how it does indeed go. We will throw out the most realistic worst case scenario and grade the offseason if that's how this would be played out that way. And then finally, or maybe we could reverse the order, but we'll talk about the best case scenario of how it could go from here and offer up grades from there as well. So we'll dive on in. A quick reminder, though, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, if that's how you prefer to listen to this thing. And today's show, as always, is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free lineups. Whenever you sign up, use that promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right. So I guess we could really quickly update everybody on the Kuminga situation. Anthony Slater of ESPN, who covered plenty of contractual standoffs with Jonathan Kuminga while he was in Golden State, is right back on that beat and offering up the latest that he is hearing about that. And apparently it sounds like Rob Pelinka and the Lakers have an offer on the table, and they have tried to improve that offer as they could. They are obviously limited by the little amount of cap space that they have access to. Does sound like they have promised a starting job to Jonathan Kuminga as part of that offer. And yet Kuminga and his camp haven't wanted to accept any offer right now because the Lakers just can't offer very much money, especially compared to the contract offers that he turned down, the extensions that Kuminga turned down from Golden State, as well as the player option or the team option that Atlanta didn't pick up. Kuminga is in the middle of a Dennis Schroeder summer, is what it sounds like. So, Jovan, how do you see this playing out? And how would you feel about Jonathan Kuminga playing for a contract on a Lakers team that has the, you know, aspirations beyond just whatever Kuminga would be hoping to accomplish?
I think the Kuminga possibility is growing on me depending on the contract and depending on where he's at mentally. I think if he's willing to buy in, I've been talking about this the last couple of days. I think Kuminga, like the best version of Kuminga to me is the Aaron Gordon, Aaron Wiggins type, right? And a guy who was a former lottery pick, had shown Andrew some Wiggins flashes offensively of potentially being that all-star go-to guy, but eventually realized they weren't quite at that level and bought into being more of a super role player, right? And Aaron Gordon and Andrew Wiggins, I think, were both the third best guy on championship team respectively. And so it's like, yeah, that's a high bar. That's high praise. I think on the surface, it might feel a little underwhelming if you're Kuminga hearing something like that. But those are two pretty good players who were big parts of championship teams. So I think it, depending on the contract and depending on how willing he is to buy into a dirty work role and doing some of the little things that he has done, let's say inconsistently up to this point in his career, like that to me would be where I'm at with that. He's not my first choice. I would much rather pursue a PJ Washington, a Derek Jones Jr. I think either one of those guys fits more with what the Lakers need while still being in their late 20s. But I think those guys are going to be a little bit more difficult to acquire than Jonathan Kuminga. I think the big thing here is going to be how much money can they actually get off of and how much can they offer him? So they could go either the cap space route where they just dump some guys, create that additional cap space, and then either sign him or sign and trade for him, or they go above the cap, they do the moves that they have, and then there are certain trade restrictions depending on the outgoing salary in terms of how much they could take back with Kuminga in a sign and trade. So as long as they're staying under the first apron, and I think ideally for them, the luxury tax, it's legal, you know, depending on the outgoing salary. But obviously, if you're trying to dump Vando, that's going to probably cost you almost all your draft capital, if not all of it. So a lot of moving parts with this, but I'd be good with Kuminga. I think that would bump my grade up a little bit and, you know, it would get some more talent in the door. But I would prefer a more proven commodity if the Lakers are able to acquire that type of player.
Those picks that they have to work with right now are underratedly valuable right now because Washington is not fully bottomed out any longer, right? They just paid Trae Young. They're hoping to keep Anthony Davis. They're hoping that Sar takes a step forward in his career, right? They have an interesting little young core that they're hoping grows. And so in the new draft rules, the second round goes in reverse order of the draft lottery. So if like Washington finds themselves in the back half of the draft lottery, now all of a sudden the Lakers have an early second round draft pick here. And you know, from their standpoint, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of haggling going on here or whatever, but they're probably, if I were Rob, I would be selling it as a borderline like extended first round pick. You know what I mean? Like that's how teams kind of use the early second round. A lot of teams actually prefer to have early second round draft picks than late first round draft picks because of the contract flexibility that you have with those picks. So like the idea of just dumping one of those Washington picks, let alone all of those Washington picks, just to get rid of Vando's contract. One, we know that Rob Pelinka doesn't operate like that too. And frankly, I kind of agree with him if that is the stance that he's taking here, that you know, we just saw the Lakers get Cam Carr when they got him. And you know, for some reason, the Lakers are really good at navigating the draft and trying to get their guys later when they have an eye on them later in the draft. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting how they handle that spot, unless it's Vassar or whatever his name
is. No, I was going to say, look at the last two first round picks before this one though. So I think Carr, I think is going to pan out, to be clear. I get that. I just think the Lakers have, and this can get into like a broader offseason conversation, but like right now with DA, and I think the writing was on the wall with DA, they were likely going to do him the favor of he opts in, then they could flip him and they got 2 second round picks out of that. They saved some money. Like it was a win-win for both sides. But with DA on the roster, I was kind of looking at this, like they have seven guys that I have confidence in a playoff setting. Now I think I'm down to six. So I think there's just like a general talent play here where adding a Kuminga, even if he's imperfect, even if he's got some glaring warts and some inconsistency within his game on both sides of the ball, like you just need more general talent. And if Kuminga has taken the Laravia minutes or part of the Laravia minutes, or if he's taken the Vando minutes or the Adu minutes or whatever, like that's a pretty notable upgrade in my opinion, going from a guy that I think is at least clearly a rotation player, even if we don't quite know if he's a starter or bench guy, versus some of these guys that I think are more on the fringes. So LA just adding a starter and like a certain level of talent to me, I think does go a long way in addition to getting off of some of the back end stuff. Cause I still think like I understand the vision with the top seven or eight. I think they're really leaning into youth. a certain amount of athleticism, shooting, dynamism offensively, and really trying to make it where there's no place to hide outside of Kessler, who is going to be an elite finisher. Like, there's no place to hide. All these guys can shoot, dribble, pass, attack closeouts, all that stuff. But the back end of the roster is still pretty shaky. And if you could find a way to turn Vando and Dalton and Jaden Hardy and Bronny, or like some combination of those four guys, into Kuminga plus something else, that to me, you're like, it's a 2-for-1 special where you upgrade the actual primary rotation, get the starter you need, improve the bench, and you're cleaning out some of the back end of the roster where it's relatively low upside. So I think that should be the goal here for the Lakers, is like, you don't necessarily need to empty the clip from a draft capital perspective, but can you restructure the roster where, again, if it's Vando and DK out, guys who aren't really going to play for JJ, Kuminga in, guy who's going to be a starter, going from like two fringe rotation guys to a starter, that's just undeniably an upgrade. So I think that, to me, getting someone like Kuminga level or above would change how I feel about the offseason.
It almost like you're, I agree completely about the number of guys that I trust in the playoff setting, and they legitimately need Kuminga, like, that from a talent standpoint, where they need somebody at his level from a talent standpoint, because the roster just doesn't make a whole bunch of sense without him. I also want to completely agree with the point that you're making about the back end of the roster. And one of the things that the upper levels, the upper tier of contenders have in common, there's very little fat on their cap sheets. You know, there's very little dead money or non-productive players who are making, we'll just say it, what Vando is making or around there. And turning Vando's contract, which is, you know, pretty frustrating, into a starter, like you're saying, and then turning Dalton's expiring contract and helping, you know, turn that into another role player as well, plus opening up a couple of roster spots, because I still think there's some interesting players on the veteran minimum, ranks of free agents who I think the Lakers could legitimately go to and say, there's an opportunity here for you, Matisse Thybulle, if you shoot anywhere near what you shot for Portland, right? So there are ways that I think this offseason can round out and be still very productive. So I guess we'll go ahead and start with the most realistic pathway that we can envision here for the Lakers. I think Kuminga eventually happens. There's just it just makes too much sense for both parties there. I think the Lakers, now we'll see to, you know, what extent Rob becomes comfortable with attaching assets to get rid of a contract. Although I guess if he gets a starter as part of that, you know, series of moves or actual move, it's not quite the same as just attaching a second to Maxi Kleba's contract last year. But if let's say they walk away with Jonathan Kuminga, they get their backup center, right? Whether it's Looney is still unsigned, and I guess Valanciunas is still unsigned. But a caliber player in there, and then they add another couple of veteran minimum contracts. And then also I think one thing that they should really consider is converting Chris Magnon. He's been excellent in summer league so far, and he's good at at a certain couple of things that teams really value, specifically perimeter defense. So I think just to kind of protect themselves from losing him, I think it makes a little bit of sense to convert him. Let's say that's how the rest of the offseason pans out. How would you grade it with everything that the Lakers were able to do?
So I'll tell you my starting point, because right now I think I'm at a B for the offseason, which could be high for some people, could be low for some people. I think the Kessler trade for me was an A. I think the only thing that knocked it down was the overall price. Like the actual fit. And I think if you put the trade to the side, which is a big aside, if you just looked at it as if like the Lakers signed Walker Kessler, I think that's fair value And I think he's a perfect fit for what they need. They got a foundational piece. They left this offseason with a long-term starter. And I think they have a nice core there with Luka, Austin, and Walker. So to me, that's an A-plus move in a vacuum. When you factor in the trade price, obviously the two firsts, the two swaps, that dings it to an A for me. But like that's my starting point with the offseason. The three players they signed, I think all of those contracts were more player-friendly than team-friendly. I have my quibbles with some of the slotting with some of these guys, especially if Grimes and Mamu are starters compared to bench guys. And Sexton, I've talked about it. I'm sure you have as well. Like there was an opportunity cost there of I would have preferred a Marcus Smart or Kelly Oubre, especially when factoring in. Yep. It's not like Sexton was signed to some long-term deal and he's locked up. He's on a 1+1. So he either exceeds that and now you have to repay him at a higher rate next summer or lose him, or he underperforms and then you have this player that you don't really love necessarily on a $9 million contract, like still low, but it's sort of a win-win for Sexton and potentially a lose-lose for the Lakers. So I think Grimes and Mamu, both the years and the overall AAV were like a little bit higher than I would have wanted. They gave them player options. They gave Sexton the player option. So the fit, I view all three of those guys as bench guys, plus the contract. To me, I collectively give those moves like a B minus. And so that nets out to me as like a B, maybe B plus, but I do view them right now as missing two starting spots. And that's where I kind of lean more B. However, I say all that to say, if they land Kuminga, for me, that would clearly bump it up to a B plus. And that would be how I view the offseason. But if they could get like a PJ Washington or Derek Jones Jr., I would view this as like an A or A plus offseason, because then I think more so PJ Washington than DJJ, because he's an expiring contract. So you're going to have to renegotiate that. I think he's got a little bit more injury concern than PJ Washington. But like PJ Washington is locked up for four more years. So if you get a guy like PJ Washington, he can be your long-term four. And then I think you would leave this offseason with two locked in starters moving forward with PJ and Kessler. Then the final position would be that point of attack guy. And if you get that guy at the deadline, or maybe you get that guy next summer with a non-taxpayer MLE, then you slot in Kessler, PJ, point of attack guy, Austin, Luka, Grimes, Mamu, Sexton. I really like that top eight. You have another backup, and then maybe Cameron Carr is like the other guy. Like that top 10, I think is pretty strong. So I think if they can land the starting level forward, it would bump it from a B to a B plus for me. But to get it to in like the AA plus range, I think for me, it would have to be someone like DJJ or PJ Washington, who are like perfect fits, proof of concept with Luka. And then in the PJ case is locked up for 40 years. So you have that certainty now of like, this is our new core. We have six of our top eight guys locked in. Now we got to fine tune, find the couple of missing pieces, and then we're set. So if they leave here with like two locked in starters and three locked in bench players, I think that's a really good off season.
Yeah, I have B is a little high for me right now with all of the, like, given the fact that they don't currently have a fourth starter. I can't see Mamu starting like that. I think that would be
I don't think so. I think Jake would be the guy right now. What do you think about that? I think with that, like, if they're playing a basketball game tomorrow, I think the starting group would be Walker, Jake, Grimes, Austin, Luka. It wouldn't be Vando. I've seen people throw out Vando. It would not be Vando. Vando would not start over Jake for JJ. It would be Jake or Mamu, but I think they would go Jake and then have Mamu be the backup 4/5.
Yeah, like starting Vando would be like a would you rather game for JJ.
It's just not happening.
like would you rather, you know, Ghost Reaper Pepper, Carolina Reaper Pepper, or start Vando? And he's like, all right, what am I chasing it with? But yeah, I think if they do, whether it's Kuminga, whether it's I don't know that they have enough to get PJ Washington.
So they can make the math if you did something like
the math Jake, works, yeah.
You can make the math work. But I think it's going to require, it's probably the 3 seconds on the swap. And I don't think you could put Vando in that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got, and you might have to consider including like Thero. They might ask for Thero in that deal.
Which, but, yeah, then it depends how you feel about that.
Yeah. I like Theroux as a concept, but I think he's heading, like, I don't like that he can't stay healthy. Like, we just saw him as a late scratch in their last game. So, but yeah, it's like the Washington thing, if they could somehow pull that off and walk away from that negotiation with PJ Washington, and like you're saying, you now have your starting, you know, your core starters of Luka, Austin, Washington, and Kessler. And then if, you know, Grimes, if he does improve enough as a point of attack defender that you're like okay with it, you know, then all right, I'm starting to squint. I could see that, you know, that B or whatever, great. But that's like, it would almost have to be Washington for me to bump it up to like that B plus A range. That I'm really nervous about, like the Kuminga thing, because I think that would be a really big gamble. Derek Jones Jr. is an intriguing player, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy recently. And like you said, you have the contract situation there, and the team is going to be pretty expensive. And if you trade for him, you get his bird rights, and this team is going to be ready to re-sign basically everybody here moving forward. I would personally have it at like a C right now, because you used all of the draft capital that you brought into the offseason with pretty much, and you didn't offload Vando's contract. You know, like if they could have just included Vando's contract or Dalton's contract or both of those contracts in the Kessler deal, given that they gave up both of those first round picks and the pick swaps, and they're naming one of JJ's kids Ainge as a middle name, like you gotta include Dalton or Vando in that deal.